I saw you on last night. You were doing some playing and answering a ton of questions.
Yes, that's Wednesday cool. Is Q&A day. See a schedule.
I think it's a great idea. You know, it's not just a convenience for you. Which, by the way, do you hear an echo or something, or is that just in my head?
I don't hear an echo here.
Okay, I think we're good then.
All of my things are turned down, except for the one I need.
I think we're probably good. Sweet. I don't even know what I was about to say. Yeah, no, I think the scheduling thing's a smart idea. You know, for you as a creator, so that you always know how to stay on top of it. And then also for consumers, so that they know when to expect it. So
consistency.
Yeah, I think that means something, you know. I think that's a good thing. cool. So it's funny. So this morning I did a little chat with it's a guy named Micah that kind of hit me up on Instagram. He's a student about to become going into a master's program next year. But we were talking about some career stuff, also about social media. And, you know, he was kind of wondering, like, what can I do as a student? And, you know, we talked last time, you and I, about perspective and sharing that. And that's kind of the goal for any of this. So we kind of talked about that. I talked with Drew Tucker earlier in the week. I know you caught that when I saw you.
Yeah, I caught like half of it.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting talking to people and getting different perspectives. So, you know, talking to a student that's thinking about sharing from a student perspective, talking to Drew, who's talking about doing it from a professional standpoint, and somebody that has a summer seminar like Mallet Lab and also his own personal brand, and it's not a xylophone, and other things that he does. And then you as an orchestral musician and a personal brand as well. So kind of fun times, but I mean, we don't necessarily need to try to like relive this and just try to redo what we did before. I think if we could just do more of like an organic thing and talk about social media and our philosophies behind it, and then, you know, dig in again about what you think the benefits are for you and your career, you know, I guess personally and professionally, and then maybe some tactics for what other people that are kind of like you as an orchestral player, like what are things that they could be doing, you know? Because yeah. I think when it comes down to, like, when I look at the entire community, it seems like there's a lot of, I'm not quite sure what to do. There's confusion. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so hopefully with this kind of platform, you know, we're sitting here on Instagram Live, but we're also on Skype and recording this. Hopefully what we can do is try to highlight some of these things for people and help them get started. So let's maybe restart just real briefly for anybody that may not know who you are and what you do. Give us like the 2-second origin story of Josh Jones and how we got to where we are today.
Okay, 2-second origin story. Started playing percussion when I was 2, took lessons from 10 years old on through college, and then did a bunch of stuff with a program called From the Top, which is that showcasing program for children, NPR adults.
Program?
Yeah, NPR.
Yes. Hey, real quick, can you also press record on your screen just to make sure?
Oh, how do I do that?
I think it's on like the bottom right. I know, I threw us through a loop saying that, but I want to make sure we capture as much of this as possible.
Raise hand.
Anybody on Instagram Live, we're also Skyping together. We're also on Instagram Live. That's why I'm not staring at you. You're off to my side. But if anybody happens to have a question for Josh or I about music careers or social media or marketing or whatever, feel free to hit us up.
It says it's recording now, so I don't think my screen has a recording option.
It says recording already?
Yeah, it says it's recording on my upper right-hand screen.
Okay, that's probably because I pressed it then. All right, we're good. We should be fine. So, all right, pick back up. You were on NPR doing From the Top, which is
From the Top program. Yeah. What else did I do? I think that was the first big thing I did that people kind of started seeing me a little bit more. And then the biggest thing was the Up Rocks Uncharted video that came out 2 years ago, then everybody saw me. So yeah, that's kind of my, that's one side of the origin story all coddled up into how I got on social media.
Right. So you started getting some attention as a young player, obviously, because you're on these big national and multinational channels. So what did that do for you, that kind of attention? And did that influence you to start doing some of the stuff on social?
At first it didn't. I figured, you know, a video was fine. I didn't really want to be seen that much. And honestly, I think I was more focused on my personal growth as a musician and not really on like, oh, I want to get these many people to see me. I want to be performing at this venue, you know. I was more like, you know, I got a job to do. I got to get better. I got to go to college. I got to get a job, that kind of stuff. So that all took my my perspective, I guess, or my time. Uh-huh. More often. It wasn't until really the Up Rocks thing happened where I was like, okay, maybe I should probably have a website and a lot of blogs and
why? All the stuff. What made you, what went through your mind thinking like, okay, I'm getting some attention. Why do you need those things? You already had the attention, right?
Yeah, it was something I think two people really got me into it. My sister, who loved Instagram, she loves taking pictures, and she's like, you need to get an Instagram and document everything. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll start doing this. So like, if you go all the way down to like my first post, it's probably something dumb, like a piece of food or a rock or some really weird thing. I didn't know what my Instagram was going to be. Uh-huh. I was just like, oh, I got this Instagram. I guess I need to put a picture up. So it's just like a bunch of random photos. And then I started watching, I was really into YouTubers. And again, my sister was like, oh, you should do like, what do you call it? Reaction videos, because you're so animated when you react to things. I was like, well, I don't know about that, but I don't have the equipment to like.
Are you going
to
start doing reaction videos to CDs and YouTube videos of other classical performers?
I was thinking about doing that later on in life, but maybe not now. it was more like, I found a couple YouTubers that I was really interested in, mostly in gaming, like video gaming. And this other guy, Yannick Wizdala, who plays electric bass. And so, I don't know why, I think all of this kind of started very randomly and almost as a joke. Like my first website, Tell Them I Know the Rep, if people remember that website, that's just an inside joke.
I don't know if I know about this website.
Yeah, it's still running. It has my new website on the first page, and it has a couple blogs on there still. But everything's moved over to Drumbojo now. But it started off just like just an inside joke with me and my friend Theo. And then I kind of took over the website. It was originally going to be me and Theo writing our own blogs about philosophy and stuff. But then I kind of like just wrote a ton, and then it just kind of became this thing.
Sure.
So it was very by accident. And then when I started getting better recognition in the fields, as far as getting fellowships and people hearing about me through either from the top or just word of mouth, then I figured I should probably have more legit things up. Mm-hmm. So more videos, more educational videos. Both inspired by Yannick and this other guy that I won't mention, just because I don't want to mention him.
So you needed the internet to distribute that content, and were you actively trying to like get it to people, or were you just trying to stockpile it in case people wanted to trip over it?
Yeah, I was thinking like more stockpiling, because I figured I only have like a couple friends who would probably read every single blog, like on a weekly basis. And then just by kind of dumping it with a ton of content, I didn't have to do it every single week. I could plan out like okay, I can start thinking about topics in 3 weeks and then write like 3 blogs and then I don't have to do it for another month. Videos are really easy, especially now that I have kind of a system going on where I just do a live stream, save it on Facebook, and then upload it to YouTube and my website. But even that was kind of by accident because I didn't realize that I could save videos on my computer from Facebook Live.
Yeah.
It's just add an app and then you can do it.
Yeah, man, that's actually, I was talking this morning to Micah about some of this stuff about like the efficiency of content creation. If we start going down that path, something more tactical rather than philosophical at the moment. Man, the rain's like really coming down here. It's crazy. Anyway, and you guys got wildfires going on or something.
Yeah, it's so smoky outside. I need to wear a mask.
Oh man, I saw that earlier. That's crazy. Well, stay safe up there. That's nuts. So anyway, we were talking about like content creation. You know, one of the biggest issues, which by the way, friendly reminder, people on Instagram Live, we're doing this as a podcast as well, getting some long form content. We're Skyping while we do this. So that's why I'm not staring at you guys. You're just sort of here. Allowing you to be flies on the wall for this conversation. But if you do have any questions and you want to put them in the comments, that's cool too. So one of the biggest things that I hear from people when they're like, yeah, social media, I don't have time for that. It's always about time. It's always time. Like musicians never have enough time to do the musical things they want to do, let alone think about marketing and business, you know? Mm-hmm. So because it is 2018 and pretty soon it'll be 2019 kind of world, like everything's moving towards digital. It just is what it is. You know, like college used to be the place that you would go and distribute knowledge and education because that would literally be the place where all the experts would go and congregate. But now it's the internet. I mean, I don't know how many times I go to YouTube to learn something. Like the garbage disposal got clogged.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's the model number of this garbage disposal? All right, and looking it up, like, how do you undo this? Like, how do you take this apart, right? Or alternator in a car goes bad, or you want to figure out, like, how to match things, or video production, anything that happens in, like, real life, you can go to YouTube for it. It's the second largest search engine in the world behind Google, which they're the same company, so whatever. But yeah, things like udemy.com, where you can go and you can put a course together and sell it to people. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. Lynda.com, tons of places for education. So anyway, as things start moving towards that digital kind of world, it's super important to have a presence online because that's where the attention is. You know,
yeah.
When you're not playing a marimba or you're not playing snare drum or whatever, we're all sitting there on a cell phone, just sitting there doing this, you know, we're on Facebook or we're looking something up or whatever, or the phone is the center. So presence is super important. Even to us, even though we're in like this backward looking kind of tradition, right? So the content model needs to be something that promotes musicians continuing to be musicians at a high level. Like you still need to be practicing for 8 hours a day. You don't want to be doing 4 hours a day of practice now and then learning how to do the 4 hours of, you know, the marketing or whatever it's going to be. So I think your strategy is one that I very much agree with, which is why we're sitting here doing this long form recording of video, you know, like starting with the long form video and then breaking that down into other pieces. So
yeah.
Well, give us a little insight into your strategy specifically and what you're doing. So you go on Facebook, you go live, and you might be live for 45 minutes or 2 hours. What are you doing with your video when you're done with it?
I download it on my computer, upload it to YouTube, and sometimes, depending on the type of video I do, YouTube will be like, you have broken the violation on our thing, you know?
With copyrights and stuff?
Yeah. So I'll be like, well, then I'll do my complaint because I played Bach as a solo. And
do you straight up upload that video?
Yeah,
do you do any editing? Okay.
The only way I'll do it An edit is at the very beginning where you see me going like this.
Oh, yeah.
Going like this. So that's the only editing I do. I don't do any editing. All of my stuff is pre-shot. One, it's just less work for me because I don't have time to go like, okay, let me cut.
Right.
You know, I just do it in a straight shot. Whatever happens, happens, and, you know, whatever.
You know what I think would be cool for an app? Sorry, would be like something to build on top of like iOS and Android would be a video app, like the camera app on your phone. But whenever you're done, that it does some editing processing in the background. Like it, you know, the quick cut thing, the Casey Neistat kind of editing style that's become super popular for vlogging and stuff, where you just, you go through the video and you find all the spaces where you're not saying words and you just cut that out and it seems kind of choppy, but you know, it keeps the momentum going and everything else like that. I think that would be really cool for a video production thing.
Yeah.
And it goes through the waveform and goes, cool, well, it stopped here. There's no sound between these points. Cut it, splice it together, and now it's done most of that work for you. I think that would be really cool. Anyway, go ahead. So you put it on YouTube, you edit the beginning and end, leave it pretty raw throughout, then what?
Then I post it on my website on one of my pages. I think it's on the vlog page. Mm-hmm. Just post that. And then the website and YouTube is done. Obviously, it stays on Facebook, but I don't know if a lot of people on Facebook watch it afterwards. I don't know.
Well, how many views do you get?
Huh?
It should tell you how many views you get from it, right?
Yeah. I guess I never go back and check how many more people.
Yeah, I mean, I would challenge you to maybe, you know, do a tiny bit of like the data mining thing where it's like, okay, during the live, as soon as you press end, before you do anything else, because it's going to still accrue some views. So as soon as you're done, just notate like 511 people watched it live. And then, you know, after 3 days, go back and see what that difference is. Maybe it's only 512 or it's 40,000, who knows, but just to kind of get an idea for the behavior of people, you know. Anyway, go ahead.
Good idea. Yeah. And then I can't really splice. The only thing I can't do is splice it for Instagram because the file's so big on my phone.
Right.
So I'd have to splice it on my computer, save it to my Google Drive, and then send it to my phone and then do it that way. So it's a lot of...
I would. Do you have a MacBook?
I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, like, if you had the Mac products for anybody that's paying attention to this, would be like to just airdrop it rather than go to Google Drive and then move it from there. It's just direct connection, but, and there's no data loss there either, like quality loss. So anyway, so what do you have a strategy for that long? If you have an hour and a half long form video, are you chopping it up and putting it in?
Oh no, I'm just doing the long thing.
Gotcha.
It's usually just I call them my rants because I just go on a tangent a bunch of times. They're basically master classes, but I treat master classes as me just ranting about stuff because I get so animated and I just go kind of with the flow. So they're more rants than actual master classes, but they are classes in general.
So are you? Obviously, you're doing this for a purpose. Like, you're trying to help the community and provide some educational or inspirational value, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, one tactic to help you would be, what if you were to, I mean, even for two or three of these, are you doing this on your computer, all the editing, like an iMovie or something? Or not iMovie?
Yeah.
Okay. So what if you take the long form content, go find, say, 3 to 6 different moments where you're saying 15 seconds, up to 15 seconds of like a golden piece of nugget or a golden piece of information, you know what I mean? And then extract that 15 seconds out and post that as an Instagram story. And then as part of like the text on the story, you could be like, hear more on YouTube or whatever. And then you tell people to go to your link in your bio, and then the link in your bio goes to your YouTube where they can find it. That way you get more people to actually engage with it. Cause like the only people that are going to find it on YouTube are people that are on YouTube. But people on Instagram, you can at least try to funnel them over there by letting them know that it exists on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you help the Instagram people like with those little tidbits. And then for the few people or the many people, whatever it turns out to be, that really want to see the entire thing, now you've given them a way to find that entire thing. Because you're alienating the entire Instagram audience. They don't even know that it exists if you're not putting it. So I think that might help you if you were to do something like that. Just find a few things. Literally just find the beginning of it, the end of it, and export that out as the video. No editing required. And then inside the Instagram story, put some text on there and tell them to go to your link.
Sounds good.
I bet your views would go up.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's another thing where, like, I didn't really... YouTube is one of those things where if people go, they go. I guess I don't put a lot of effort into YouTube. I put it all in my Instagram. So,
right. Well, the idea of doing this is to disseminate your information to as many people as possible, right? And I think one thing a lot of people are confused about, and I'm not saying you are necessarily, but I'm just saying in general to help people, but is this idea that people should come to you. You know, like for a long, long time, everybody would have a website and they would have a blog on their website. And then they would have a page devoted to their photos, a page devoted to videos, a page devoted to this and that. You know, but our behavior doesn't really map to that anymore. Yeah. So the idea is to put the content in the places where the people are, not where you want them to be. Mm-hmm. So trying to move them over, that's why a lot of people's personal blogs don't really get a lot of hits, because you're asking them to come to you. And they don't even know what they're there for yet. You know, like you're asking me for my time. You know, I know it only takes like 8 seconds to go to your website and look at something, but that time is a big commitment. And that's why a lot of people won't do it. So, yeah, you know, like putting more of the content, I think, online is really smart for more people, putting it on social. But yeah. And again, you know, I said something about I bet your views would go up on YouTube. Not that I'm saying that the vanity metrics of having views is the important part, but what you're doing, your mission is to try to educate and inspire people in as many as possible, which is why you went to social. If you wanted to do as few people as possible, you wouldn't be on social. You'd just be talking to the couple people around you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said before, the people on Instagram aren't necessarily going to your YouTube because they don't know they should. Mm-hmm. But if you help point them there, they might go. You know, if you're about to go live, of course, on Facebook, you go to Instagram on stories and you say, I'm going live in 15, the whole like cross promoting kind of thing, just push people where you want them to be. So I think that's, I mean, you know, my two cents that you didn't really ask for, but I'm giving it to you anyway. Like, I think you're doing a great job and I think more people should know about it. And I think that would be like the next step to making it even bigger. Would be to just cross promote that stuff in a more skillful way. And it takes a little bit more time because I'm at, obviously. So like, that's why people reach out to me to try to do stuff kind of like ghost creating on their behalf, where they send me content and I chop it up and I do the background legwork for them, you know, and you wouldn't even know that it's me. So that seems like that would be a good resource, right? For musicians, like let you create and then send off the content for somebody else to do.
I'll tell you, orchestras need to be better about that. I don't think a lot of orchestras know the benefits of being on social in a very prominent way.
As an organization, you mean?
Yeah, as an organization.
What do you think is important about it for an orchestra?
I'll try to stay within the bounds of political correctness. There are some orchestras where in their town or in their city, there's not a lot of, it could be a very small community of people who aren't really in the music scene. They might have something else going on, or it might be more of a business town. or something where the town really doesn't dabble in music that much. So if there was an orchestra there, they'd be like, oh, okay, I've heard that an orchestra is something with a bunch of people who play music and instruments. Okay, I guess that's fine. But then you go, oh, there's an orchestra in your town. You're like, oh, I guess that's cool. Okay. It's like, they don't really care because they don't know why to care, you know?
And this would be the medium to provide them enough context to perhaps want to care.
Yeah. And I think another thing is like a lot of orchestras are so big that they think the name alone is going to get people, is going to attract people or new audiences. And you know, like a name is great, you know, the brand is great, but like, I feel like people want to see human interaction and human experiences and not just, Gustavo Dudamel is in town. Who's that? You know, like,
yep.
It's not just the name. You need to put, okay, Gustavo Dudamel, he teaches kids. He went to Venezuela. He, you know, did this stuff. Like, I feel like he's probably the most marketable person because he's so in the community anyway.
He's a very unique looking presence. You know,
yeah, exactly. He doesn't look like your normal conductor, you know?
Right. I had a very similar thought about this. You're talking about orchestras, and I was thinking about college percussion studios and why I think it would be valuable to them. And I think it's kind of the same thing. You know, a lot of people are just riding off of what used to be brand and name recognition.
Yeah. And,
you know, like the world doesn't necessarily move that way anymore. It's not, you know, like people still buy Nikes because Nike is still a brand that they have some trust in, you know, but like I was thinking earlier, the conversation I had, why do some people say like, I want to go to UNT for Mark Ford? And why do some people, whenever they reference the school, they don't reference Mark, but they reference the school name?
Yeah.
And I was trying to reconcile this in my brain. And I was like, is it that we're kind of a world that's all about the faculty members and the individuals now? Is it about the big brand names and that's what we should be pushing? Is it about both? And I really think that it's about all of it, you know? And I think what it comes down to is just your experience with that thing. It's like, if I grew up in Texas, in Denton, of course, it's in my backyard. I probably know the UNT name for the last 30 years because of my proximity and its heavy involvement in my life and culture and the things around me. I might know about Mark as secondary to that because I learned of him later. But when you're 5 years old, you don't know the percussion professor. You know UNT because of football on television. You go to the games and that stuff. You know what I mean? But then if you're somebody that's at, say, not in Texas, where the name brand of the school isn't so like top of mind. Maybe you're in California and you met Mark at PASIC and you didn't even know UNT existed as a program because it's not, you know, a top program for football or basketball. But you met Mark at PASIC and that's your connection to the school. So when you reference that place, you reference the person and not the place. And so I think it's just, what angle did you come to this at that you start referencing it, you know? But anyway, all of that to be said is just, it's attention, you know? Like the football program being on television got your attention and that's how you knew about it. Mark going to PASIC and you being there as well is how you became, you know, knowledgeable that UNT existed or whatever. You know, stupid example, I know the UNT thing, but it is what it is. But yeah, it's just, all of this stuff is just to get people to know that you exist. Mm-hmm. It's like jumping up and down, waving your hands and being like, hey, I'm over here. So anyway, I think you're absolutely right about the orchestra thing. You know, especially in a time where funding is being cut and people are saying like, you know, orchestra's dying and whatever. And it's like, I don't think the orchestra's going anywhere.
Me neither.
I don't think college is going anywhere. But I think what we're experiencing is the right sizing of things. I think that we're going to start experiencing like the right number of things in our area that, I don't know, perhaps we're maybe a little saturated with stuff, right? We all talk about the job market saturated with qualified individuals. which then probably leads to like, we're saturated with too many institutions to provide those degrees.
Yeah.
So we're going to see like a little trimming here and there of programs, and we're going to go, ah, that sucks that they closed. But that doesn't mean the demise of college. It just means the right sizing. And I think the same thing for orchestras. And if you want to be the people that survive all of it, I think social media is bypassing the naysayers, because more and more and more and more, you're going to have people that are like, college isn't for anybody. College is dead, but whatever, orchestra's dead. Like, you know, push all that conversation to the side. Go straight to the end consumer, business terms. Sorry. You know, we're talking art. But go to the end user, whatever you want to call them, the end person, which is for a college, a student, and a parent. And for an orchestra, it's the butts in the seats. Go straight to them and prove to them your value and your worth in their community and around them. And just do it through content and social media. That's it. You don't need the nightly news to sit there and talk crap about the orchestra, and then that's where you get your opinion from. Get your opinion straight from the horse's mouth, because you see the orchestra down the street is being active and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is the purpose of doing this for a college studio, is jumping up and down and being like, hey, kid from across the world that doesn't have any idea I exist, here's some digital content to show you I'm here, and here's what our studio has to offer. Oh, and now you might actually get somebody from across the world to come. It's like amazing how that works. You know, it's like in the past, if you didn't have the internet, it was like word of mouth from friends or colleagues, or you know, you read something in a magazine, you saw something on television, and a movie, on the radio. Any of those things is literally social media. I mean, a blog is the current state of newspapers. You know, video content on Instagram and stuff like that, that's television. And then you have the radio in the form of podcasts. So it's like nothing is really that different. It's now just changed venues. Mm-hmm. So just go create the content so people know about you. Instead of putting and wasting $2,000 per spot on the radio or television, go put out a Facebook ad, make your video for free on a cell phone or something like that. And put it out there in Facebook ads to your community around you. Let them know that you exist. Just reallocate those funds, because nobody has money anymore anyway. Musicians are broke, orchestras are broke, colleges are broke. So figure out how to use your dollars better and go straight to the end person that you need. Anyway, my rant. Yeah, so I guess we're done. No. So like, okay, you're talking about orchestras. What content do you think as a musician that you would like to be part of? What do you think would represent your orchestra well? Maybe not Calgary, if you don't want to talk to them, but more, just think more hypothetically and more general. What do you think that you as a musician want to get across to audiences?
That I am a normal human being that goes to a coffee shop before rehearsal. If you're around, say hi. You know, like, I feel like the thing that always bothered me about orchestras growing up is that I felt this kind of elitist disconnect. And that really informed my growth as a musician. Just how I want to feel like I'm not this, I'm in this orchestra, I'm this big person. No, I'm just a dude who hits stuff. Let's go have a coffee, you know? Yeah. That's the way I approach it, because I feel like people like to see honesty, and they want to see, I guess honesty is the best word for it. They don't want to see a cookie cutter, like, this is, you know, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. We're conducted by Ricardo Muti, and, you know, it's like...
That doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, it doesn't
mean... All you did was strengthen the argument that you're too above them and you're elitist, and I want nothing to do with that.
I want to see, like, the mistakes that CSO makes. Like, I want to see, like, oh, you know, they actually have to rehearse before the big concert. You look on YouTube, you find their Shasta 7 video. It's awesome. Like, put that stuff on Instagram where the brass is just blowing out like crazy. And you see this dude like waving his arm, you know, it's just but exciting, like grabbing attention.
You know how much fun that would be to take like Ride of the Valkyries or something, or like your example, take some heavy brass moment and then mix it up with just a little bit of digital editing and like have somebody that looks like they're just being blown away by a tornado. Like, you know how much that's to orchestra people, that seems to cheapen the brand because now it's not hoity-toity art music. But to the general public that pays your bills and keeps you alive, they would love that piece of content. I mean, that would just live and go over super duper well if you could get into making meme quality stuff. Like, embrace the culture that's actually happening out there. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like a lot of people are just trying to stay within the realm of, this has worked in the past, so we're just going to keep doing this. Whereas now, like, now they're doing more movie scores. Not that they never did movie scores, but movie scores of Star Wars, movie scores of Harry Potter, like Zelda, video game.
Well,
like
because back in the day, it was musicals that were kind of the popular music that they would play, right? It would be like West Side Story was like the most popular music thing they would play. But now it's, Star Wars that came out 6 months ago, they're playing.
Yeah. So like,
which is good.
So you'll get the gamer community for that thing, and then you'll be like, okay, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But there's nothing on Instagram
there's
and
nothing
Facebook.
Else for
there's
them.
Nothing else.
There's like, nothing designed going into the performance to attract that kind of audience. You know, like, yeah. But see, you know, part of it is money. Actually, a lot of it is money. Like, you got to have people that are able to do this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're talking about is time and money. Orchestras are cutting the personnel that are running them. Like, they're already stretched really thin being personnel managers and doing logistics and that kind of thing. They don't have time to sit down and iMovie at 2 a.m. You know, they're just trying to catch their breath. So I totally understand that it's difficult. But I think if you know, the community starts understanding the need for it, then that sort of fixes itself. And one way I think it fixes itself is embracing and using the talents of the people within your community more. And being something that's more of a bartering system, where we don't have to exchange cash. Like, nobody has it, so why are we talking about exchanging it? But we all have talents and skills that other people don't. So why can't we just barter this thing somehow? You know, like, there could be...
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there, and if you're a major any symphony orchestra, you have an audience sitting there, and they've got a program in your hand. You know, maybe it's like, this performance is brought to you by the video editors of Lexington. And that was like a business. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the video editors of Lexington were the people responsible for putting on the promotional materials on digital before this performance. So they do the editing work for free for you. But then you also gave them your eyeballs to the people in your audience. Now, you know, they did something for free. You're also doing it for free because you're not going to accept the cash from the ad that they created, but you're going to accept the cash of the more butts in the seats that the ad then for or therefore created. So I think the long tail is something that we forget about too. We're all, you know, about that immediate upfront cash. Like, how can I get this short-term stuff?
Yeah.
I think that also drives it.
It always bugs me, especially when you talk about sidebar, when you talk about volunteering and they're like, okay, I want to get paid for this volunteer work. Like, it's kind of an oxymoron. You're volunteering, but I also think it should be like a group community, because like, it can't all just be one person to do all of this. Like you said, everybody's stretched so thin. So like, give the orchestra members access to the Instagram account. Have people designated to like, who want to do or are already active on social to tag the orchestra so that the person can just go repost. There's a lot of things people could do to help if they were willing to help and if they knew that they needed the help.
I mean, I play in the Lexington Philharmonic, which is a regional orchestra here in Kentucky. You know, one of our trombonists is actually, he works for Procter & Gamble up in Cincinnati. Like, that's his big boy job. He was in the Air Force Band for like 4 years, I think, maybe a little bit longer. Now he's a principal trombonist but you know, the state of things and being families and like, you need cash, you know, and his happiness and all that stuff, I guess, led him to want to do something with PNG, which is cool. You know, all I'm saying is there are people out there with talents in other lives that, that can provide to help the orchestra back. So, you know, we could think that like Josh Jones only plays percussion and doesn't know anything else. I don't think that that's true at all. I think you have many, many other skills that you could offer to people, and you can both, you know, mutually benefit from this thing. And I think orchestras, colleges, nonprofits, and NGOs can all kind of embrace that same thing in just a bigger way. Go find people out in the community, other businesses that have things that that they can offer to you, and you can return the benefit. So yeah, I think this is a cool conversation. Let's see what we have in here.
I'm so tired. I can't remember your name.
Hey, Josh, can you turn down the volume on your phone?
My volume is down. I don't know why it's doing this.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate
it. I don't have a headphone jack.
This is all.
Let me try something. The bassist from Philadelphia is watching. But his name escapes me, and I'm really sad about that.
Uh-oh. So,
let me try.
Okay. For the record, these conversations are happening. I had them word for word with friends. I just have to keep communicating with and leading by example.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's like, the only reason that I decided that I would, you know, start doing this stuff and talking to people is because I found myself having the conversations. Having conversations with college professors that are upset about, you know, the state of being a college professor in faculty meetings, where all they ever talk about is retention and recruitment. And never talk about the kid that's actually in the classroom today spending $25,000 a year to be there.
Yeah,
so, there's frustration. There's frustrations on all sides, and it's like orchestra members are talking, the conductors are probably talking, you know, front of house people at venues are talking because they're sad because they're not making as much money. Like everybody's talking, but we're afraid to like really put it out there, which I totally get. But at the same time, that doesn't fix things. So, and obviously it's like a slow stew that's got to kind of simmer and kind of figure itself out. But, you know, social media is here, and it's something that can help make meaningful change in a big way very quickly. So what's that?
Joe Conyers, he just did a live stream. I meant to talk about him, but he just did a live stream a couple of days ago, which was great. I was so happy to hear that.
That's cool. What did you guys talk about?
I think we're a lot alike, honestly. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, everybody's talking to each other, but something needs to happen. I mean, that's what I'm hoping that this can be part of, is, you know, having the larger conversation. I mean, part of the issue, and I think we talked about this last time, last Thursday, whenever that was, that so many people are afraid to take action because they think that they don't have anything that is valuable. They think that, well, I don't have a big job, or like, who am I? Nobody's going to listen. And again, everybody has their perspective, and that's what you have to share. You just share who you are, what you do, being authentic, and people will pay attention. Not everybody. That's ridiculous to think everybody would pay attention.
Yeah.
And truthfully, it's ridiculous to think anybody will pay attention and just be grateful that if one person does. We got caught up in views and followers and all that junk. I got 369 followers. I mean, come on. Like, I also don't put a ton of time in my own stuff because I'm doing client work. But anyway, yeah, it's just like this whole analysis paralysis thing that people talk about. And the I don't have anything to say, because we are such a backward looking community, looking at, you know, the older people or the people that came before us as examples. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you're Josh Jones, you're 26, right?
Yep.
So you're 26 years old. You're not 46. You're not 66. You haven't lived a whole life yet. But here you are sharing your perspective, and a lot of people care and love it. They don't think that you're trying to come off as like the end all be all, because that's not what you're doing.
Yeah.
We get that, you know, and I think that can be difficult for a lot of people. But yeah, you know, if we would just start having the larger conversations, start saying things, embracing what you actually feel and think rather than shying away and that kind of thing, things will actually change. It'll happen. So yeah. And that's the same thing for me. Like I said, I've got like 369 followers. Like that's, you know, in the grand scheme of planet Earth, that's not a following.
Yeah.
But here I am on Instagram Live with you. Right. So like, we're sitting here chatting about something, and all it takes is one thing. Cause who knows? I don't know. I haven't been paying much attention to who's on the live, but it could be somebody that's in an influential position just happens to go, I've heard of this Josh Jones guy. I guess I'll trip over it and watch this live thing. And yeah. Then they go, wow, this is an interesting conversation. Oh, these guys are talking about something cool. I'm in a position to do something and I like it. Let's make something happen. Now this tiny conversation blows up into something bigger. So, you know, you never know who's watching. You never know when one piece of content, you know, if you're thinking like an entertainment kind of deal, you never know when one piece of content blows you up to be like the next big YouTube star. In our world, in our conversation, you never know when a little conversation like this on the Instagram Live is going to blow up and be like, you know, the inspiration for a much deeper, bigger thing.
Yeah.
So being afraid to start this conversation is kind of silly because, again, you never know what's going to come from it. So just keep having it. Keep having, get started, keep going. And that's kind of my spiel on that. So I don't even know how much time we have left on this thing. I would I'd venture to guess probably like 10 minutes before it kicks us off. So we talked about what, you know, total programs, college programs or orchestras could be doing with just a little bit of tactics thrown in. How about individual players like you, people that are just getting jobs or maybe students, since you've been a student way longer than a principal profession. So like, what do you think other people in a principal job could do? Cause that's a different thing. And what do you think people that are students in school could be doing?
Principal jobs, actually something that I do all the time is tag my orchestra in every single post. Other things are to tag affiliates like Zildjian, Black Swamp, Bird Percussion, things like that. And just putting things out there because as having a job, the students are already like, oh, this person is in an orchestra. They obviously know how to get a job. I will go watch them now. Like, that's just the psyche of the student these days. For good reason, obviously, but, you know, it's kind of like, this person has a job. This person is legit. I watch them, you know? But other than that, like, something I try to do as well is if I'm at Rosso, the coffee shop right down the street from the hall, I'll tag Rosso and be like, oh, I'm at Rosso right before work. If you're going to the concert, say hi. Or I'm at local or at the guild getting a drink before, you know, or after a concert. Like, come say hi if you went, you know? Like, so I'm also tackling the audience that already follows Rosso, the coffee shop, the guild restaurant or local, the restaurant, David's Tea, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So you're kind of piggybacking on things as well.
And you know what they should be doing for you at this point, because you're going to constantly be a creator in the local community, is they should be giving you free coffee and free pastries and then ask you to come in there and do a recording like this instead of sitting in your house.
Yeah. I guess I don't drink that much coffee.
Well, whatever. Like, you know what I mean, though? Like, they siphon the attention of your users, of your followership.
Yeah.
And in exchange, we'll give you like a 25 cent cup of coffee. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's something I kind of try to do with every post, is just like tag my orchestra and try to promote them. But aside from that, I'm obviously just trying to get my methods out there for students or just people who are, you know, looking for more practice routine things. Get my website more out there so people can read all the blogs that I post and, you know, that stuff, because that place is flooded. And I guess now I'm going to have to take a Sunday and like splice up my live streams and put them on Instagram.
And it really only takes like 30 seconds to do each one.
Yeah, it's longer with my thing because I got to like re-download everything. Yeah, because it's so much data. I should have backed it up on an external drive, which now I need to get an external drive. So, it never ends. But yeah, as a student, again, I didn't really think I could really promote a lot about myself just because I always felt like I was still growing, like I didn't really have much to say. But I think as a student, I needed to start owning what I knew and my life story. That's the other thing. Yannick Vizdala talked about on one of his, actually on YouTube, where he talks about marketing, that we all have our, as you said, our perspective and our own personal story, because that's the only thing that we have that's, well, not the only thing, but that's the most unique thing we have to share with people. Like, there's not going to be another Josh Drake Jones story exactly like mine on YouTube. So it'll be interesting, hopefully, to some people. So yeah, just posting like, and like you said, the studios and colleges having the students' life and day by day kind of experience for people to see so that they don't have to come from Asia to wherever you are to take a tour and then go back to Asia. And just, you know, these people just don't have the cash for that stuff. So bring it to them.
I didn't have the cash to fly to you to do this.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah, it's like, so yeah, I think the best way is for the students to really own what they know and own their life story and not be afraid to post it on, you know, wherever they are.
Okay, so that's all like a nice philosophy, and I totally agree with you. Now, how can I tactically do that? How does that actually happen in real life? Talk me through, how do I document that? Like, okay. Say you just convince me, like, what can I actually do every single day?
Okay, you warm up, record yourself warming up, post it on Instagram. Done. That's one.
How? Where do I put it?
So I have an Android phone. I will put it, at first I didn't have a tripod, so I would just find like a stool and like stack a bunch of books up to post it. Like, yep. Some of my videos are super janky. Or I'll be like, hey man, can you record me? I want to check on my hands or something. Like, you know, it's like, you just do what you can. If it's a low view thing, like if it's a low view thing. If the angle's weird, I guess the angle's weird, you know, as long as it's getting out there.
That's the point, right? It's like just to start and get it out there.
Yeah,
not wait for the perfect equipment.
Yeah, don't wait for the perfect equipment. If you wait for things to be right in line, you'll never get started. I forget who said that. It's in my quote book somewhere. But yeah, if you wait for the right moment, you'll never find it. There's always a reason. You'll always find a reason not to do what you need to do.
Man, I just remember being a student, and I would always, sorry to derail us, but it's like, I would always hear people like, oh my gosh, I got the brand new whatever sticks, or I got this, or man, I need that. And it's like, I would just roll my eyes because it's like, that's not going, that doesn't move the sticks. That doesn't, you know what I mean? That's not the art. So anyway, too much.
We like trying things. That's, you know.
What's that?
We like new things. We like, oh, this is different. Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah, but, you know, now I'm derailing us. Like I said, I wouldn't. But that comes down to like crutches. You know, people looking for the cheap, quick answer. Let you do the research and you just give me the answers afterward. You know, that's what I was talking about before as well, was talking about practice. And, you know, there's all these resources. They're great resources and super valuable on how to practice and practice methods of great people and that kind of thing. But there's a certain point where you have to actually pick up the sticks and do. I mean, you can read about push-ups and the perfect push-up regimen and perfect push-up form and all these things and the right food to go along with it so that you can get sculpted. But like, if you don't actually do the push-up, you don't get stronger.
Yeah.
And so the point being, just start going, you know, like everybody needs like, well, I don't have the right sticks. Well, it's not the sticks that are keeping you from playing that, right? It's you that You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, I love when people are like, oh, I got like 75. Well, I mean, I was the same way. I had a stick for everything just because I'm a hoarder of sticks. Because I like all the different colors you can make. But it doesn't right. mean you can't make the same different colors with the same sticks. Like, then I tell them about a person who won a job with one pair of mallets and one pair of sticks and two pairs of Glock mallets. And they're like, wait, this is unheard of. They won that job with that setup? Like, yes.
Right. It's like the point being, cool, if you can afford to have a billion pairs of everything, awesome. Like, that's not a bad thing. Of course, as many tools in your arsenal as possible is great. But if you're waiting until you get those 1,000 before you do something, that's the silly part. And that's the part we're talking about. So I'm just posting on Taps for anybody that needs some new content.
Nice.
All right. Anyway. Yeah. So I'm totally with you. The whole, like, the strategy, again, I think like the top of the funnel, especially the thing that would help, help with time and efficiency of creation is the long form video. That's what we're doing here. I mean, this is very, yeah. meta, but the same thing for your live. So you take your long form thing, long form video is great for YouTube and Facebook, posted on both. It doesn't have to be edited like what you said. Heck, you can even leave you pressing on and turning off because that shows the authenticity of the video. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be cool. I would rather see that than the edited version, because then I thought maybe you sat there like with purpose, you know? Like, I like the rawness of that. But yeah, then you take your long form video, you chop it up into, you know, multiple pieces of micro content. So that's like a bunch of different Instagram stories of like little snippets of things that you said that were really inspirational and great pieces for your Instagram audience. Then on top of that, you push them to go to YouTube or Facebook so they can see the entire thing if they want to. If you have a swipe up feature with 10,000 followers or more, tell them to swipe up and they can go straight to it. You know, you take 60-second blocks of it and you put it on your wall, or you take the audio out of it, put that into a podcast. Now you have a podcast entry. And then from your podcast, you take out one statement and now you make a quote card, put that over top of one of the still images from your video, literally put the text of what you just said over top, and now that's a post. So there's all sorts of stuff that you can do.
Yeah,
so you take the quote card and take it and put it on your story, you put it on your wall, you put it on Facebook as a post, you put it on Twitter as a post. Like, from 1 hour and a half thing, you could probably have 50 different pieces of micro content. And then you can transcribe your podcast entry, the audio, and turn it into text, and now it's a blog entry. So, like,
there you go.
Get the mileage out of it. And the purpose is, you know, I think the ROI is worth it. I think the time and effort is worth it, because the idea, like the philosophy for why do I need to have all these different things? Why can't I just do Facebook and Instagram? Because that's what you're comfy with. Well, the world isn't you. This isn't about you. This is about them. So if you're talking about educating and inspiring, our video just ended, by the way. But if you're talking about like inspiring and all that kind of stuff and educating, then you have to remember that it's not about you, it's about them. Then you have to say, okay, well, where do people consume content? Like, where can I put this so that I can educate and inspire as many people as possible with as little friction and time commitment from them as possible? Well, some people like Twitter and not Instagram. So if you would have only put it on Instagram, the Twitter people would never have found you. So that's why you put it everywhere, you know, but you do the cross thing too, because there are people that like both Instagram and Twitter. And so maybe they found you on Instagram, and because they also love Twitter and you told them to go there, they're willing to do it. So that's why that part's important too. That's why I was saying that for you, I think, to get a bigger audience. Sit there and take that stuff, take the extra 30 minutes it might take to splice some of this stuff down, even in its raw form, you know, not like heavily edited and putting LUTs on there and color correcting and all this junk. Just do it. Later down the road, whenever you're making $1 billion a year, then you can hire somebody to do it for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I thought this was a cool conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, this was really good. I learned a bunch of stuff.
What did you learn?
Oh, just like the fact that I could splice the simple things you don't think about. Like I could splice my live stream into like a million, because there's so much content on there, like so many snippets of like, you know. And I guess that's another thing. I like having, not that I use Twitter a lot, like I like having Twitter for me. Just because, you know, Twitter's like the "I hate this" kind of thing or whatever for some people.
Well, it's the conversation place.
Yeah.
And right now, unfortunately, it's a very negative kind of place because of certain individuals that use it. But yeah. But yeah, that's cool. Well, I think this was pretty valuable, and I think the comments kind of explain that. Let me see. I hope it didn't disappear on me. Okay, yeah, because I definitely want to share this. Share. Cool. All right. Before we got too far and that didn't work out, I wanted to make sure that that got shared. But yeah, I think this is a cool format. You know, we both can get some long-form content out of this if you want. I think this saves to my computer.
Okay.
So if you want it for any sort of reason, like if you wanted to sit there and crop me out of this and just have you, and then...
I don't know if I can do that, but...
You can, but like literally just, you know, if there was 10 seconds of something you said that you want to put on your channel, like do it. You know, this is a beneficial thing, I think, for both of us. But I think it's helpful for the audience to kind of see that conversations are happening, that you and I are both people that are part of it. There's a place to go with their questions and be part of the conversation. So I think that's really cool. So, I mean, I'd be down to do this more in the future if you wanted to. I'm really interested in spreading the love with some other people as well. I think I'm going to do it with Drew again. Brian Carter. Do you know Brian, drum set player?
I don't.
Yeah, like he's affiliated with like Jazz and Lincoln Center and stuff. Kurt Elling plays with him. Anyway, so like Brian's a really, really cool dude. I think he and I are gonna do a little chit chat sometime soon as well. Kind of get the perspective of a professional drum set player and touring artist. So it'll be kind of neat. But yeah, is there anything else that you want to add? If not, that's cool too. Cause I know
I won't say who said this, but us, like you can't get paid all the time. So like, don't expect to be making a ton of like, don't go into this for that. I'm not making any money from Instagram. Like I don't have enough followers to have an ad, like, or have that like ad revenue on YouTube to have ad revenue thing. I only have like 1,000 subscribers. Like I'm not on YouTube to make money.
I think that is actually the threshold for ad, like pre-roll ads.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, you're not running them, is the point.
Yeah. Right.
So then what would you say is the ROI of doing it? So if you're going to spend all this time making all this content, what's the point?
Exposure. You never know who's watching. That's the first thing my teacher said when I went to college. You never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. So put as best of your own self as you can out there, because somebody will be like, hey, I saw this guy. He's at this school. You should get him for this gig.
But see, hang on real quick. I think what you just said is the point that I'm going against. Like, I agree, but I also don't agree, because people are always waiting for the best. When you say, like, you put the best out there, that means, like, I know I can play well, but I need to record it 40 times to get the rep that I want. Well, if you have to record it 40 times to get the rep you want, then you're not as good as you think. And you need to be okay with that and let that be part of the story. That being the perspective part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somebody might, like what happens if you put the best rep out there and somebody thinks that you're just a nails player and then you show up for the gig and you're not, now what?
Yeah. I guess I was more in the context of like people just seeing you in person. So like, as far as when I was in school and people were like, I was playing where I didn't have the camera and all this stuff. But then again, like what you're saying is completely valid. Like people don't, like it's nice to have a nice performance of Bach, but like people want to see the process of like how you got from this to this, because that makes you more authentic. Like that's an actual storyline. You know, people like a good story.
People would rather have seen Keiko Abe in her journey to become Keiko Abe than sit there and have to wait for her to do a documentary interview to learn the stories of what she did.
Yeah.
Because the story she's going to give you is, you know, 80 something years of time. She's, you know, she's going to give you the bullet points. You know, like you would have loved to seen that she ate a certain food every Tuesday, or that there was a certain conversation with a certain friend that kind of pivoted her life to do a certain thing. And that's why we know her to be her, you know, it's like there's little moments for the things that matter. And that's what I think documenting your journey from your own perspective is so important, because people would have loved to see, like, why is Drake Drake? Like, what did he actually do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everybody's always asking, like, once they're somebody, they always ask for the story of their journey. So why do you want to wait? Why not just go along with them? You know?
Yeah.
Like, this is the fun part for, like, watching you. Like, you're documenting your journey. You're telling stuff and teaching and inspiring from your perspective. And in 15, 20, 30, 60 years, you know, it'll be really cool to see where you are and be like, you know, I watched every second of his life because it was on Instagram and I could see it. That to me is a way deeper relationship, and that's going to make me care more.
Yeah, I agree. Like people have idols and stuff, but then they don't know anything about them. Like,
yep.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to wait for a JoJo Mayer documentary, which I kind of did just because he's so busy. But when I did see the documentary, I was like, oh, this is so cool. This reminds me of like how I got started. And like, I feel so much more connected to him now, even though I've never met the guy. You know?
Yeah. We always have that conversation of like, oh my gosh, they're just a human too. They eat food and they do this thing whenever you see the documentary.
Yeah.
It's like you can watch that in real time because they just press send on the Instagram, you know, like, that's kind of where we're at, the immediacy of everything. And I think it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And on the back end of that, it can lead to opportunities and gigs, which is cool. And then the money comes later, right?
Yeah. Money will come. It'll, you know, you just have to keep working, and like, as long as it's consistent and reliable and all that good stuff, you know, something might come of it. You never know. You just put the seeds out there and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like if you didn't use social, if I use me for an example, like if I didn't use social to put out like my skill set and sort of get attention that way, I wouldn't get gigs to, you know, be on Mallet Labs judging panel. I wouldn't have Drew Tucker calling me about like, what should we do? Should we even do this international thing? You know, like I wouldn't get opportunities to go play or go teach or do these things because those people wouldn't know I'm there. Meaning the people in my immediate geography are the only people that know I'm here. So that would be more of a local level thing. Like, do you want to come teach my middle school all-state percussion thing? Like that would be the gig you're talking about, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love doing that stuff and I still do things like that, you know, but it's like, you're reduced to just the few people in your community that are immediately around you. But by doing the social thing, the world is your oyster and opportunity is everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you really love only doing one or two clinics a year and you're cool with that, then do it. If you're itching at home and you're like, I really, really want to do as many of these things as possible, but I don't know how, then do this. Get your stuff out there. There's going to be people that go, I really dig what you're doing. I'm going to call you up and say, hey, can we fly you to Nevada to come do this thing? And you say yes, and then you go.
Yep.
That's all this is. So, man, this is cool. I appreciate it. I got to run to a meeting that I got to drive to. So Keep doing what you're doing, man. I love what you're doing.
I will. Keeps me busy and it's fun.
Yeah, it's great. And you're inspiring a lot of people in a lot of different areas, you know? And I think it's great that you're, you know, you've kind of taken on the role of like the Friday posts, trying to promote people that look like you.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah. That's something, my girlfriend and I talked about, just briefly because of some things that were happening in, certain schools. So, yeah, that's because again, I have somewhat of a big following or whatever that means. So like if there's a person who I can, like, I actually, this is something else. I looked at my analytics on Instagram and over 80% of my followers are men. And I'm like, well, that's kind of also my, fault as well, because like, am I putting things out there that are appealing to the female demographic? Am I like, you know, am I too bro-y in my texts or am I, appearing, you know, that kind of stuff? Because it's such a male dominated, at least it's promoted as a male dominated organization and career. So like, what can I do to both promote women and trans and homosexual and like that kind of thing and more African Americans? Like, I need to start posting people that look like me or in similar positions as me. And that's the least I can do. So I'll tag, you know, I'll do all my tags and stuff. And like, somebody will see it and hopefully they are either inspired or know someone who could be inspired by that and send it their way.
Yeah, man, these communities are also, intertwined and there's no space for bigotry and in leaving people out. And, you know, we're starting to see this in a bigger way with things like, lifestyle magazines and lifestyle culture. You know, there are magazines that were just like men's whatever and women's whatever. And now it's, you know, the women's health is pushing what men are doing. The men's health is pushing what women are about and just integrating the two, because it's the same community.
Yeah.
We're eliminating that line and that division and we're bringing it together to be like, well, we're still human beings and we all have two arms, two legs and like the same, you know, biology for the most part. So yeah, it's kind of superficial junk that's been dividing us and stuff that, you know, really has no place, in society. So I think it's great that you're using your platform. And by the way, when you say that you don't have a big following, I think perspective there matters too, because you know, if you were a pop singer and you had 2,000 followers, I would say that you don't have a meaningful following, you know. But if you're an orchestral player, you have to think, well, what is the actual totality of that group?
Yeah, that's true.
And what is my percentage of that? You know, I don't know. Maybe you're at 60%. Maybe you're at 10%. I don't know what that number is. But I think that's an interesting thing that people have to remember too. They're always like, well, I don't have 100,000. Well, there's only 50,000 that care about that thing. So you're not going to ever get 100,000.
Yeah, that's true.
So chill out. but yeah, I think the people that know what you're doing appreciate it and will keep passing the word. So just keep doing it, man. And with that, I appreciate your time. Stop the recording and get the heck out of here. All right, man. We'll see ya.
Okay, dude. Take care.
All right, you too.
Very soon.
Absolutely. All right. See ya. Bye.
See ya. Bye.